parents in the college admissions cheating scandal are now facing additional charges.
It offers just kind of an alternative way of looking at the alleged crimes in a way that the public, potential jurors, just can better understand and wrap their heads around.
And our Women in the Workplace series continues with a look at who speaks in meetings.
Women who are not remembered for what they say are often the ones who have trouble getting promoted.
Plus, the rise of the odd lot trade. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the new charges facing some of the parents in the college admissions cheating scheme and why they were introduced, here's what you missed. Diplomat Bill Taylor, the acting U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, said in closed-door testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday that President Trump made nearly $400 million in aid contingent on the Ukrainian president investigating Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said in a statement, quote, President Trump has done nothing wrong. There was no quid pro quo. And we mentioned yesterday in our afternoon edition that Boris Johnson's Brexit plan passed a key hurdle. The bill was approved by British lawmakers. But that victory for Mr. Johnson, well, it was short-lived. Just minutes later, lawmakers rejected his timetable for debating and formally approving the bill. That means that his goal of leaving the European Union by October 31st is looking unlikely. From London, Jason Douglas has more on what happens next.
Okay, the first thing that we're waiting for is what the European Union says about an extension. So Boris Johnson, if you remember, had to request one. So now the Europeans are going to decide exactly how long that extension is, and whatever they come back with will kind of colour what actually happens next. So we'd expect them to simply do what the UK requested, which is grant an extension until January the 31st, probably with some wriggle room that if you pass the deal sooner, you can leave sooner. And then Boris Johnson basically has a choice. Either he goes for an election first in the hope of winning a majority so that he can then pass the deal, or he tries to pass the deal first and then go into an election having said, I did Brexit, I got it done.
We'll, of course, keep you updated on all of the Brexit twists and turns. And two departures for you. The first is Nike's long-term chief executive, Mark Parker. He'll step down in 2020 after nearly 14 years in the top job. He'll be replaced by John Donahue, who's a former eBay chief executive. We report that Mr. Parker's departure marks a strategic shift for Nike. It's seen strong sales, but also been beset by a string of PR crises. And Boeing's commercial airplane chief Kevin McAllister is also leaving. It's the first high-level ouster from Boeing since the 737 MAX crisis began. Boeing reports its third-quarter earnings today, and analysts are expecting that it will take more charges as a result of the crisis. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with a new development in the college admissions cheating scandal. A little over half the 35 parents facing charges have pled guilty. But a new twist came late yesterday when prosecutors introduced new charges against 11 holdouts. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Melissa Korn, who was at the hearing in Boston.
Melissa, 11 parents who were allegedly involved in the nationwide college admission cheating scandal are facing additional charges. What do prosecutors accuse them of now?
So prosecutors have now added a charge for most of them regarding what's called federal program bribery, essentially bribing an organization or a state or something like that that accepts at least $10,000 in federal funds. So it's almost a quasi-arm of the federal government, so they can charge them at the federal level.
And this is, as we say, in addition to the original charges, which I believe include honest services?
Honest services, fraud conspiracy, and money laundering conspiracy. So they, most of them now have three charges against them.
Now, who are some of the defendants? Some of them obviously high profile.
Right. So more than half of the parents have now pleaded guilty, but there are still 16 out there that have pleaded not guilty. And they include actress Lori Loughlin, fashion designer Massimo Giannulli, former TPG Growth head Bill McGlashan. So definitely still some big boldface names here.
From your article, Melissa, I'm kind of wondering this. Have prosecutors sort of struggled at times to make a case with this? You write that, you know, they struggle to identify damages and victims in the case. I guess with regard to William Rick Singer, talk about that.
Right. So the prosecutors say there's definitely a crime here. It's just kind of hard to explain why. So the idea that this is based on an honest services fraud, that there's you know, that these people are depriving the companies, the employers, of their honest services of their employees, of the coaches and things like that, by having these bribe arrangements. It's a tough sell. It's a complicated charge. And the probation office, when compiling pre-sentencing reports for some of the people who pleaded guilty, didn't declare that there wasn't a clear financial loss for the victims. And the prosecutors say the victims are the colleges and the testing agencies. So one of the reasons that they might have added this charge is it offers just kind of an alternative way of looking at the alleged crimes in a way that the public, potential jurors, potential judges just can better understand and wrap their heads around.
I get the impression that cheating or lying on a college application is not a crime.
In itself, no. But there are elements of it that can be crimes. If you're taking financial aid, if you're getting benefits of some sort from the school of any value, then it's fraud.
Going forward, what kind of hurdles do the defendants face in this case?
It's a tough battle for some of the defendants. Some of the defendants' attorneys are saying these were just donations made to the universities through an intermediary. These were not bribes. And that's the line of defense that they're taking. There are a few different defense theories that are now moving forward. That's probably the most common. And yes, schools do accept donations and in some cases give preferential treatment to the families of those who donated. But it doesn't quite explain the prosecutor's allegations regarding these fake athletic profiles and essays that had false references to these athletic feats. So that's a bit of a tough nut to swallow.
Against these defendants?
Against these defendants, yes. There are, again, a number of different defense approaches here. But for these defendants, it's certainly not an easy win. There's a reason why a lot of parents did plead already.
Lawyers for many of the parents, including Lori Loughlin and Massimo Gianelli, declined to comment for our article. You can find all of our coverage of the case up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to talk about odd lots. They're the tiny trades that are taking over the U.S. stock market. An odd lot trade is one in which fewer than 100 shares change hands. They used to be an insignificant part of the market, and now nearly half of all trades are in odd lot sizes. Steve Russolillo explains what changed.
There are two big drivers behind this. The first is that the average price of a stock is just much higher than it used to be. And so if you're going to trade 100 shares of something, like call it Amazon or Google's parent Alphabet, stocks which have prices of more than 1,000, you're talking like a lot of money that you have to shell out to trade. And so that's why now with these odd lot trading, you can buy fewer shares and at a more manageable price. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that there's a rise of computerized trading, algorithmic trading, that makes it easier to trade in these smaller increments. Now, it all sounds well and good, but there's one potential problem with this. And that is that sometimes individual investors that are trading in these smaller increments may not get the best price that they might have gotten. So that is a concern, and that's something that market structure advocates are really calling out and trying to make sure that the playing field is really level for all traders and investors of all sizes. But it's certainly something that's very important right now.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Expect a grilling when Mark Zuckerberg faces a House panel later today. He's expected to discuss Facebook's cryptocurrency plans. Facebook is facing pushback against its Libra coalition, its plans to encrypt private messaging, and its efforts to fix abuses on its platform. In prepared remarks, Mr. Zuckerberg said that broad skepticism of Facebook has detracted from the company's argument that Libra will promote financial innovation. He's expected to say that he thinks Libra is something that needs to get built, but that he understands Facebook isn't the ideal messenger right now. And Tesla's set to report its earnings after the bell. Earlier this month, the company said it delivered 97,000 vehicles during the third quarter. That was a record for them. From San Francisco, Robert Wall has more on what to expect.
The record delivery figures is obviously somewhat good news. It does show that Tesla is making progress in getting production output up and doing that more consistently. There were some questions about that at the start of the year. But the reality is they're probably going to post another loss. So this will be the third quarterly loss this year. So investors that care about making money probably want to see some progress on that front too.
We'll have an update for you on those earnings in our afternoon edition. Finally, our series on women in the workplace continues. We're going to look at something I personally hate, meetings. That's because I find them often useless and counterproductive. Anyway, new data shows that if you're a woman of color, well, they can also be a minefield. Research has shown that Black women's words and ideas were the least likely to be remembered in meetings. Our Women in the Workplace study with McKinsey and LeanIn this year also found that more than 40% 40 of Black and Latino women reported being interrupted and spoken over during a work setting. Amber Burton has more.
You know, the reason why it matters is these outcomes can result in, you know, lowered retention, but also just burnout in general. And of course, you know, women are going to be less likely to stay around if they're burnt out and unrecognized.
Amber says that not being heard can have consequences beyond retention.
Women who are not remembered for what they say are often the ones who have trouble getting promoted. If your manager can't remember exactly what you contributed, that really does present a real challenge to getting to the next step in moving up in an organization.
So we want to know, if you can bear to attend a meeting, how do you make sure that you're heard? Let us know. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com. Your comments might be used in follow-up reporting. Just want to say thanks for all of the comments that we've got so far this week. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.